In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred, and it's time for your coolest conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow, subscribe, rate, and review. I'll be speaking with UK singer-songwriter Mark Valentine shortly. His recent coolest song of the world, Complicated Sometimes, is off his new album called Basement Sparks, out now on Wicked Cool Records. We'll hear some of the tune now, followed by my talk with Mark on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Sometimes you just can't explain it. Sometimes it gets complicated.
We got your coolest conversations happening now in Little Steven's Underground Garage, and this is the Mighty Manfred. Joining me is singer-songwriter Mark Valentine, who for a number of years fronted the UK band Last Great Dreamers. Their current hiatus has led Mark to release a solo album last year, and he's back now with a follow-up called Basement Sparks, out on Wicked Cool Records, and it features this week's coolest song in the world, Complicated Sometimes. How are you, Mark?
Oh, I'm great, Manfred. Nice to be here, and thanks for having me.
Yes, well, I'm glad to be with you again, my friend, and congratulations on the new album on Basement Sparks.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally thrilled that we got the record out now, and I'm really excited about this. Yeah, thank you.
Right, well, it's all Wicked Cool. So how did you wind up signing to Stevie Van Zandt's label, the Wicked Cool Records?
Well, I tell you, it was like a dream, actually. I still have to keep knocking myself that it's actually happened. So hang on a second, I'm just going to punch myself. Right, yeah, I'm awake. Yeah, it's definitely real. I think it probably came about, I think, through some of the radio play in the Underground Garage. Palmyra and Roddy on the Rock had been playing me, and I think it probably sort of got some notice from that. And my producer, Dave Draper, has done quite a lot of Wicked Cool stuff as well. So I think it kind of all kind of naturally tied together, and it's just good timing, I think. It's just so wonderful.
Cool. Well, now, like last year's album, Future Obscure, you enlisted Dave Draper as producer. Had you entertained anybody else to work with, or you were set to work with Dave again from the outset?
I think from the outset, it was Dave. I'd wanted to work with him for many years, and there's always been sort of reasons. Obviously, with my other band, we kind of had other guys that we used in studios we liked. And the opportunity, it's just during COVID came up, but it was kind of really unexpected. And he had some free time, downtime, and it kind of happened that way. And once we'd kind of met up, we knew that, we were going to do a few records together for sure.
So this is the second album with Mr. Draper. But yes. You figure this is an ongoing series.
Well, I'd like to think so. You know, we've still, got another 9 months in the year yet. So, who knows what we can do.
Well, we'll focus some on Basement Sparks now. Well, when did you record the new album?
We recorded that last year over a fairly short period. And I think we did sort of two or three sessions, and it just came together really quickly, to be honest, Manfred. And it was just, I think I was still riding the buzz of the reception from Future Obscure, and sort of the accolades that album received, I was really not expecting. So I think there was a natural high that I was on, and I just, the songs were just sort of there, ready to be picked, really. So I just sort of, yeah, went and harvested them as quickly as I could. And again, Dave was free. We had some time. And yeah, it was just amazing. We got it together. Wicked cool schedule. We recorded it, you know, before Christmas, and had to fit in obviously the schedule of the label. And yeah, here it is now, right now.
Well, I love your analogy there. You harvested the songs. There are 11 cuts on the new album. Did you record more than that?
Yeah, Dave had to keep me under control a bit because he knows I've always got these sort of, you know, plans for it to be a double album. When it's like, slow down, man, we can't do all of this. So yeah, I think we did 13. We sort of cut it down to 11.
So how would you compare this album's songs, sounds, production to a last Great Dreamers record? Like, what are we hearing different?
I think what we're hearing different is the elements of production that Last Great Dreamers, probably with budget, of course, and the structure of the band, the elements of production, a lot of keyboards that we don't get to use in Last Great Dreamers, obviously 100% sort of my songwriting as well. Obviously, there's sort of the mixture of those things together will make it a different experience to an Last Great Dreamers album. And obviously with the production of Dave Draper, so it kind of gives it its own identity, I think.
Well, our coolest song in the world this week is Complicated Sometimes, kicks off Basement Sparks, a new album. To me, it's got a very Apples and Stereo vibe to it. Are you much of a fan of theirs, of Robert Schneider's?
Yes, yeah, it has. It's got that kind of, a lot of people have said different things about that song, but of course, somebody said, it reminded me of an ABBA song today. I'm like, wow, okay. But I'll take that, you know, I don't mind. It's pop, you know, it's supposed to be in your face, bit of bubblegum, you know, just open the album. And obviously the usual sort of question of, you know, existentialist kind of songs that I do, it's kind of got a little bit of, you know, sadness to it, but there's always that kind of, you know, silver lining there. And I just, yeah, it's just something we thought, yeah, it's 2 minutes of you know, brash bubblegum pop, yeah.
When did you come up with the idea, or how did it come to you?
I actually wrote that the night before I was going to the studio with Dave. It was actually the last song I wrote for the album, actually. It wasn't going to be on the album, but I think something else got nudged out of the way after we'd finished that one. So, yeah, it was very much last minute. It's one of those kind of songs. I was sitting around my dad's, actually, and I was helping him pack up some boxes and stuff. And my mum sadly passed away a couple of years ago, and we're still going through her stuff. And it's really tough, you know, when you lose family, those sort of moments when you kind of, you know, everything's around you, all the 50 years of someone's life, you know, of living in one place. And I just sat down in my old bedroom, and I knew I was in the studio the next day, and then it was our last session or second to last session. And I thought, oh, actually, you know, I think there's another song we need for the album. And just kind of sat down there, and it just happened in 5 minutes. It's one of those.
Well, you played several shows so far this month in the U.S., gigs in Yarmouth, Massachusetts, and in Boston, New York City, Ringwood, New Jersey. How have things been going so far on the road?
Oh, it's been absolutely brilliant, far, far more than I ever expected.
Tonight, actually, you're playing in New Haven, Connecticut, and we'll talk about it in a moment, but this week you have been recording in New York?
Yeah, that's right. We're at Little Steven's studio with Jeff Sonath at the helm. Which is amazing.
How many songs are you working on with Jeff?
Four songs, hopefully as an independent EP later in the year. Yeah, I'm really excited about this. And to work with Jeff, obviously, is a legend. So, and to be in Little Steven's studio is just incredible. Yeah.
No, that is, I've worked there before, a very cool place. And Jeff is really great to work with. Why don't we compare Jeff to Dave? I mean, what are the similarities with those guys?
Well, I think that both obviously finely tuned into what they know, you know, just this sort of their references and attention to detail, probably. So, and obviously the, you know, obviously Jeff is, I'd like to see them together actually in the same room, but that would be interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jeff, obviously the heritage of what he's done is just incredible. So yeah, it's going to be a different angle on something. And yeah, I think it's going to be kind of cool to have something recorded here in the States. Is very special for me. So yeah, I'm really excited.
And so you mentioned four songs. Have you been playing those songs out at these dates that you've been doing?
We've done one of them. We tried one of them out on the crowd in Ringwood at you know,
Drew's.
Live at Drew's. Yeah, it was amazing. And I have to So that is a unique venue, and it's just one of the best shows I've ever done. I didn't want to leave. So incredible.
Well, people that don't know about his setup, can you elaborate? Let people know what is it like playing live at Drew's? What's going on there?
Yeah, well, you're kind of taking this drive out of New York up into sort of the hills, and then you're kind of driving in the middle of nowhere in these woods, and you come to this lake, beautiful lake, and all these houses around it. Kind of reminds me of Lake Arrowhead a little bit. And there's this sort of big sort of wooden house there, and you go there and you sort of knock on the door, you go in, and there's like, bloody hell, there's a PA set up in the living room. And the living room looks over a lake. And there's all these chairs laid out, and it's like, what the heck is this, man? And then you sort of do a little sound check, and then tons of people show up with potluck. They're bringing pizza, they're bringing booze, and everybody's so friendly. And the place fills up, and you play your set, and it's just amazing. And, you know, they're just so wonderful and warm, the people who are there. And obviously they love music, and apparently Drew has done like over 300 shows there. It's incredible. I don't know. It's got to be unique in the world. I've never seen anything like it, and it was just real highlight of the whole tour so far.
Well, you mentioned the recording these four tracks coming out, these four songs coming out as an EP. So, Basement Spark is out now. What is the time schedule for the four song EP? Does that come out in the fall or the beginning of next year? What do you think?
I would like to think so, but I'll have to speak to the guys at Wicked Cool about that. So the scheduling and that would be ideal if it could come out in the fall. I think that would be lovely. I'm just on a roll with songwriting at the moment, and of course you can't push things too much because you don't want to overkill either, of course. But
right.
It's about timing, isn't it? You know, kind of. You know, I guess we'll sort of sit back and then sort of digest it and see what everybody thinks and make a decision based on that.
Well, today's the 29th, and you have a gig tonight happening in New Haven, Connecticut. They're Cafe 9. And I know when you played in New York City last week at Berlin Under A, you were playing there with Palmyra Delran and the Doppelgang.
Yeah.
Had you ever met Palmyra before? Or was that the first time?
That was the first time. It's down to Palmyra that I'm here in the US. And she's been amazing. She helped set up all these shows and got me in contact with Bootleg Dan, the promoter. To give a big shout out to him. He's been brilliant. And Palmyra, absolutely love Palmyra. She's amazing. And what a great songwriter too, you know. And she's really flown the flag for me, and it's been brilliant. Her band are great, and can't wait to play them again. And Steve Conte as well, who never met Steve.
That's right, Steve Conte. Yeah. And so that's tonight you're New Haven there at Cafe 9, which is a killer little bar there, club. It's like a great place to play. The people in town, again, you know, they enjoy great music. We were talking about Boston a moment ago, but it's just like that. And in New Haven, they all be forewarned. They take their pizza very seriously there.
Oh, dude, this is what.
And people are lined up. You know, one place is much better than the other place, and they'll come to blows over that.
Pizza wars. Wow. Pizza wars. Wow.
Yeah, you gotta be very careful.
Can you give me a heads up on what I shouldn't do? What the pizza etiquette? Where I can go wrong and obviously end up in a pizza fight? Is there anything I need to avoid?
Well, you know, it's when someone tells you that the one pizza place is better than the others, it just, you know, say, oh, well, you take that under, you know, oh, really? Well, you know, then when the next person comes up and says, you know, have you ever eaten pizza here? We've got the best pizza place in the world. Don't offhandedly repeat the one that they just, someone else told you.
Well, probably not me.
You know, again,
I'll go to all
you,
of them.
You know, you want to get out of there, you know. Right. Without with any altercation,
okay,
you know, they'll probably give you some slack. As you're new to town, you know.
Well,
speaking of new to town, so you mentioned never having been on the East Coast mm-hmm. before. Does that mean you've been on the West Coast, or you've been to the States before?
Yes, Well, I used to live in California. I lived out in the valley, down in Winnetka. I don't know if you know Winnetka. And I lived there 6 years. My wife, Billy, she's from LA. And that was back in the early 2000s. We lived there. I didn't have a band at the time, but I did get some guys together in LA, and we did a few songs, but we never quite got it going, if you know what I mean. So the East Coast, the West, completely different, obviously. So I love them both. Having been here now, I don't know which one I love more, but they're...
You know, we're able to hear one more cut off the new album, off Basement Sparks, right now. And I'd like us to check out You Are One of Us Now. And, you know, the title, the phrase brings, at least to me, that Ted Browning movie Freaks to mind. You know, there's a great scene where they're chanting, "We accept you, one of us." So first off, have you ever seen the film Freaks?
You know, I haven't seen that film, but it's on, we've got it on a list somewhere of things that we want to watch. Yeah, I haven't seen it, actually. So on your recommendation.
Well, you'll get to that, and then we can follow up later. Yep. But in the song, You're One of Us Now, who are the us in the tune?
Well, the us, exactly, who are they? They are, you know, is it the Matrix? Is it, you know, consciousness? Is it the rat race? It's probably a bit of all of those things, to be honest. So, yeah, it's kind of, you know, we're all part of something that perhaps we don't realize what it is exactly, but it's kind of traditions of, you know, just what's accepted to be normal. You know, once you're in there, you kind of, there's no way out, really.
What inspired you to write that one?
I think it was kind of, you know, coming from from outside the city in a way. I was born in a small town, I grew up in a small town, and it was always kind of that, you know, you wanted to get to the city to be in a band, or, you know, perhaps to follow your career, whatever. And I think it was realizing that, you know, everyone back home is sort of saying, you know, don't leave, you know, and when you get there, you think, wow, this is fantastic. But before you know it, you're just kind of, wherever you are, the grass is never greener, you know, and you're part of just a bigger machine, really, that, you know, you really can't control. So, yeah, I think it sort of came from those ideas, started there, really.
We're going to take a listen to that in a moment. But first, Mark, I want to thank you for joining me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Oh, thanks for having me again, Manfred. And yeah, have a great day. Thanks, man.
Yeah, and good luck tonight at Cafe 9.
Oh, can't wait. I'm going to look out for the pizza.
That's right. Giving a listen now to You Are One of Us off of Basement Sparks from Mark Valentine here in Little Stevens Underground Garage.
Opened her eyes, there was nothing at all. Another day down, what you do when you fall? They call this a dream, back from where you come from. But the suits and the creeps, yeah, they got it all wrong. And the coffee cup that keeps spinning.
Mark Valentine, that was You Are One of Us Now, here in Little Stevens Underground Garage. That track is from his new album Basement Sparks, out on Wicked Cool Records. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Mark for joining me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast. My band The Woggles, we've got a new digital single out now on Wicked Cool Records titled Hole in My Heart. It's from our upcoming album Time Has Come that's due out May the 31st. Our drummer Dan Electro wrote the tune, and he'll tell us all about it next time around on our Coolest Conversations, presented by Hard Rock and Little Stevens Underground Garage.
You're one of us now. They sold you the truth, don't you know it's a lie?
Buddy, you're a boy.
Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.